I preach this morning in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today is the fourth Sunday in Advent, the Sunday in which we continue our celebration to prepare our hearts to receive Christ at Christmas. And because this is the fourth Sunday in Advent, that means that this Friday is Christmas Eve. Anyone excited for Christmas this year? I know I'm excited for Christmas. We are in a journey toward hope because I believe hope is what we need. Hope is what we long for. Hope is what we are praying for. So hope is the focus of our Advent journey. And this Christmas Eve, I invite you, I invite your family, go next door, invite your friends, bring your grandkids and your grandchildren. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful service. Our choir will be singing. The children's sermon will be a very special time with the kids. At the end of our service will be a candlelight portion. It's going to be a joyous, wonderful, special evening. You know, Christmas Eve is a great time to invite people to come to church because, you know, as well as I do, sometimes we see the Christmas and Easter people. It's a great opportunity. There was a man by the name of Ron who came to church on one Christmas Eve, and the pastor saw him and said, "Hey, Ron, it's time for you to join the army of the Lord." Ron said, "I am. Pastor, I am in the army of the Lord." He said, "Well, why don't I only see you here but on Christmas and Easter?" He looked over, looked to his right, looked to his left, and he whispered, "Because I'm in the Secret Service." Nonetheless, it's a great opportunity, amen, to invite friends, to invite unchurched people to come into a relationship with Jesus. Today, I want to bestow upon you three Advent blessings. How many have come to be blessed this morning? Three Advent blessings. If you are taking notes, I encourage you to grab your Bibles, grab your notebook. If you don't have a Bible, we have a Bible for you. Our gift to you, you'll find them there under the chair. Simply take that, our gift to you. Luke chapter 1 is where we're going to be, so I'll give you a second to get there. Luke chapter 1, when you're there, shout amen. Amen. Hey, we're getting better. I'll give you a couple more seconds. Luke chapter 1, if you're there, shout amen. All right, here we go. The first Advent blessing that we'll see in Luke's gospel today as Mary comes to Elizabeth is the blessing of faith. Say that with me, the blessing of faith. This is verse 45. "Blessed is she who has believed," circle that word, "believed, that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." Now, faith is trusting in God, who is the God who is trustworthy. Faith is trusting in God, who is the God who is trustworthy. I love how Mary is visited by the angel, and this encounter unfolds for us in verse 30 of chapter 1. "But the angel of the Lord said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.'" This angelic visitation from the Lord to Mary. Listen now to her response in verse 38. This is beautiful. She says, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." This is the blessing of faith. This is Mary trusting the Lord, taking God at his word. And you know, one of the greatest blessings that you will ever receive this Christmas or any time of the year is the blessing of faith. The gift of God in faith that came to you first in the holy waters of baptism, where God claimed your life as his own. He called you, "You're my son, my daughter. Your sins are forgiven." It came to you in the holy waters of baptism. It comes to you today as you come forward in the sacrament of the altar and where you receive the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. given for you, broken for you, shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. It comes to you even now as the Holy Spirit anoints my voice and opens your spirit to receive the good news of Jesus Christ, to respond to the good news that God, Emmanuel, is with you. He will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. It comes when you drive up Speedway and somebody cuts you off. Yes, that's right. And instead of doing some very choice behaviors, the Spirit says, be still. It comes when you wake up Monday morning and you have your coffee in one hand and your Bible in the other. And the Spirit of God speaks to you in that very still, small voice. That's the blessing of faith. The blessing of faith where you can trust in the Lord because he is trustworthy. That's the first blessing. The second blessing answers the question, trust in what? Trust in what? This is verse 45, the blessing of fulfillment. Blessed is she who has believed what? That the Lord would, say this word with me, fulfill, circle that word, fulfill his promises to her. Blessed is she who has believed, has faith that the Lord would do what? Fulfill his promises to her. The second blessing is the blessing of fulfillment. I love what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. He says this, that every one of God's promises are yes and amen. Every one of God's promises in Christ are yes and amen. I love that. It teaches us that no matter what God says, no matter where or when or how God says it to you, when God says something, he is the one who will fulfill it. And here's the reality. When God speaks, God always acts. Amen, church? When God speaks, he always acts. In other words, God is not like you or me. God is not like us who the night before have a very good, delicious Mexican meal and maybe a margarita and causes you to say one thing and then the next day not able to fulfill your commitments. God is not like that. No, when God speaks, God always acts. He always fulfills his promise. The first promise that we see of the Christ child in the scriptures that would come to be king and be savior of the world, the very first time we see this prophecy is Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And God is speaking to the enemy. And he says that I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. And then he says he will crush your head. And you will strike his heel. The very first prophecy that was spoken in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, took 1,434 years to be fulfilled. Now, you thought you were waiting a long time for that grandbaby. 1,434 years is a long time to wait for the fulfillment of Christ to come. But I can tell you this much, we won't be here then. In 1,434 years. And oftentimes, sometimes the promises of God, if we do not see them in our life like Abraham or Moses and many of the other patriarchs, we will see them in the lives of our posterity, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. And that's something to be thankful for. I think it's amazing that in the scriptures, there are over 2,500 prophecies. 2,000 of which have already been fulfilled in one way or another, which means and tells us there are an additional about 500 or so prophecies that are still to be fulfilled, many of which are dealing with the parousia or the eschaton, that is the end of the age when Christ will come back to judge the living and the dead. That tells us that when God speaks, he acts. The blessing of fulfillment is when God says something to you and he reveals it in the words of Holy Scripture, we can take the law and the gospel together in the grace of Jesus Christ and receive it with thanksgiving and say, God, this is what you have said. This is what you have said, and I stand on every one of your promises. Like Mary, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me, what? How? According to your word. God, you said it, and I'm going to stand on it, and I'm going to believe in it. This is the blessing of fulfillment. This is how God is prophesying over Mary, over Elizabeth in these moments. And I remember in my life how God prophesied over me in a very special and unique way. It was when I was in seminary. One of my profs had a guest speaker, and he was a missionary from Ethiopia. And at the end of our class, he invited any student to be open to receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit and to be in prayer for one another. And I remember the scripture that was prophesied over my life, Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord your God is with you, a mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. That prophecy is still being worked out in my life, day by day, moment by moment. How has God prophesied over your life? What has God promised to you? The blessing of fulfillment that I give to you today is this: when God speaks, God always acts. Always. And finally, the last blessing that I want to bestow upon you today is the blessing of favor. Say that with me: the blessing of favor. This is verse 43. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Circle that word, favored. Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb, here's the title of the sermon today, leaped for joy. You see, when God prophesies, when God speaks, this is faith. I get asked all the time, especially when I am preparing families for baptism, well, my child can't believe. This is a picture of faith. John the Baptist is leaping in Elizabeth's womb because the Son of God is in Mary's womb, and leaping for joy is a very natural response when you come into the presence of a holy God, when you come into the presence of a Savior, when you come into the presence of the God who created you, who made you to magnify his holy name, who gave you a purpose in life, who has created you with nothing being accidental, but everything having a purpose to fulfill. There is a leaping of our spirit that says, God has given me the joy of my salvation. The joy of knowing Jesus. There is nothing better in this life than knowing Jesus, walking in a relationship with Jesus. And John the Baptist, as a prophet of God, says in his heart, in the mother's womb, I leap for joy because the Savior of the world is on the way. And this Christmas, I am believing with all of my heart, that is the prophecy that I feel in my spirit. There's going to be at least one person who comes into this house of worship, this house of prayer, and they're going to leap for joy because their life is going to come face to face with the Savior of the world who came as a baby, not as a conquering king, as a lowly infant. I'm prophesying over our church that God is going to bring the lost right here. That God is going to bring the hurting among us. That God is going to bring the hungry so that we can feed them. That God is going to do the impossibility. And when that happens, our hearts together will leap for joy. Wise are they who win souls for Christ. This will be a church by God's grace that sees souls, thousands of souls not only physically in this building, but online right now. Somebody is watching right now, and the Lord is stirring your heart. You have heard the message, but today is the day of salvation, and God is giving to you a reality of his grace to accept the grace and the mercy of Jesus, the love of God that is for you. You don't have to keep running away from him. God says to you today, you are my beloved child. I call you my own. I prophesy over that life today. God has you right where he wants you. It looks like your life is off course, that you've taken a detour, but God has you right where he wants you, and today he's coming to you. I'm going to ask if you are in this building or you are online and the Holy Spirit is stirring your heart this Advent to receive these blessings, the blessing of faith, to trust in the God who is trustworthy, to receive the blessing of fulfillment, to stand on the promises of God that are yes and amen, or even the promise and the blessing of favor that I am a child of God, undeservingly given the grace of God, but graciously and thankfully receiving it today. If that's you, and you want to take a moment today to decide, I want the blessing of God, the blessing of faith, the blessing of fulfillment, the blessing of favor, to stand right where you are. Greg is going to come and play some music. I want you to stand right where you are. If you are at home, stand up there in your living room. If you're baking cookies in the kitchen, you can stand right there, maybe even kneel in your kitchen, wherever you are, and you want to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You want to have the faith that only God can give. You want to be blessed because the promise of God is coming to you today, church. There is something that God has spoken over you since you were a young child, and you have forgotten it. But today, the Holy Spirit is stirring in your spirit, and he's saying, don't forget. I told you about that. I'll bring it to pass. It hasn't happened. Years have gone by. And you're still hoping that it's going to happen. You are still believing that it's going to happen. But today I'm telling you, it will happen in Jesus' name, in Jesus' time. It may not happen in this life, but I promise you that what God has said, he will fulfill over your life and over your family. And I close by sharing this story. Before I ever stand before you or anyone to preach God's word, God deals with my heart all week. All week, God has been burdening my heart for this prophetic word. We've gotten off course. And the prophetic voice of the Spirit of God today, God has made some wonderful promises to us as a church. Think back to how God started this church. It may look like we're on a little bit of a detour, but I want to speak prophetically for a moment. God has us right where he wants us. God is doing a work that you couldn't do. This is grace, undeserved. God's ability to do the impossible. I'm going to ask for everyone to stand to receive this blessing as we close. God is working in us and through us. And I would invite you to open your arms and say, God, today I want to receive the blessing of faith. God, deepen my faith. The holy waters of baptism cleansed my life, and now I want to go deeper in this faith. But Lord, I recognize that only you can deepen that faith and that relationship that I have with you. I want to go deeper as a disciple of Jesus. Today, if that's you, just put your hands out. God, deepen my faith. Or maybe it's the blessing of fulfillment. God, you have spoken your word and I want to stand on your word. Today, I take a stand that God is working. It may look like we're off course, but God, you have us right where we are. We believe it in Jesus' name. Or maybe it's the blessing of favor. And I want to say over everyone listening today, you are highly favored, like Mary. Highly favored. That we have the ability to stand here in the presence of a holy God and worship you as a church family. We don't deserve it, Lord, but you have blessed us and you have given to us purpose. You have given to us life, and we refuse anything less than to say yes and amen to every one of God's promises for our life in this church, in this community. We claim the name of Jesus for Tucson, and we claim the name of Jesus in our church. And Father, we thank you that in Jesus' name, we are victorious. God, we thank you for this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for being a mighty warrior who saves. We trust in you. We have faith in the God who does the impossible. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, who says, and the church said together, amen.